don't know about anybody else, but that song's right on time. Amen? You just listen to the words of that and apply it to anything that's going on in your life right now that you think, well, I can't control this situation. Well, guess what? There's a whole lot of situations you can't control, but God is always in control. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 6. We're still continuing Foundations of Faith. There's a lot less people here this Wednesday than there was last Wednesday, so I'm doing my job. I know this is tough. This is tough stuff. I thought, man, I'm going to thin them out. We'll see if we get rid of y'all next week. I'll just preach to Melissa. No, I'm just kidding. This is the stuff, like on a Wednesday night, that you look at this scripture, when I read it and study it and go over it, it makes me want to be better. It's hard. Because God, when He taught this stuff, He wasn't talking to unbelievers. He was talking to us, the Christians. And He knew we would have a war going on in our flesh constantly. A spirit man and a flesh man. And they would be raging against each other. And He knew if He didn't put this stuff in the Bible, we'd be walking around going, man, I'm saved, but I don't know why I'm struggling with these things. And then He put them in there where we can build down past those things. He put them in there where we can look at the Scripture and go, oh, this is why. This is why I'm struggling. But I don't have to keep struggling. I can do some stuff. I can do some stuff through His power and His Word to change how I act. And when I see how I act, and it's against His Word, then I know that I'm in the wrong. I can repent, turn from it, and then operate in the right way. Does that make sense? Remember when I told you these are the foundations of faith? One built on sinking sand, and one built on solid rock. And the only difference was somebody dug down to the rock. And I remember last week when I told you, while you dig down to the rock, sometimes you disappear, and you disappear to other people, but you can also disappear to yourself. Okay, I'll stay there just for a minute. You can disappear to other people because when you start digging down below the surface, people don't see you, and you're not a big spectacle. You're not a grand Christian. You're getting pretty low. But during those times, too, you can have a hard time. When I really dig into the Word of God and let it change me, I have a hard time identifying who I am. I look in the mirror and I'm like, I don't recognize that guy. Because guess what? I'm changing who I am. I'm chipping away. I'm crucifying my flesh daily. When Paul said, I crucify my flesh, that means, guess what? You got to die to yourself daily. You got to let some things die. And it's hard. Because when God will point at it and say, that, let that go. And you're like, no, 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 I've been doing that since I was 8. I've been doing that since I was 6. I've been doing that for a while. That's who I am. And God said, no, that's not who you are anymore. Are y'all good? Let's get Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. God, this is going to hurt. Y'all want to get out here before we get started? Anybody want to get out now? It's going to be some operation. So we're going to cut away a little bit, all right? I kind of want to leave, but I won't because I'm the preacher. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have not reward of your Father which is in heaven. Right? Alms, good deeds. Good deeds. Anything that falls under charity, good deeds. Anything, any money you give, any time you give, any effort you give, anything you give to somebody in need. Anybody, anything you give and you don't expect a return. It's just your pure charity. And there's a lot of different things. Okay? You know what God says right here? I hate when He puts it in there because it's very rich. He said, when you do your alms, when you do your good deeds, you do them, and you do them to God, and you're not doing them to people. You listen, write this down. You want to write this down? Make a note right here. You are doing them because you are the hands and feet of Christ. You're doing them as an operation for God, not an operation for you. All right, does that make sense? God needs a physical body. He is the head. He is the Holy Spirit. He needs a body to operate. That's us. So when you get a good, when you come up with something, I'm going to do something great. Guess what? That's from God, and that's for God, and it's not for anybody else but God. Because if you do it for any reason other than God, and you do it for your own glory and your own reward, guess what you're going to get? What? Nothing. But you're going to get what you get. Great job. Pat on the back. And you'll swell up and it'll be good for a moment. But guess what? God is a better rewarder of that. Whew. And you go, all right, preacher, tell me what he'll give me. I can't. But I will say this, he's a good rewarder. He's a great rewarder. Ain't he? Listen, I'm teaching this, and I know there's many people sitting in this room right now, and people that will listen will know, hey, I'm not telling you something you don't know. You know when it's good, when God tells you to do it, and you do it, and you don't give nobody, you don't try to get any glory for it, and you roll down the road a year, 2 years, I don't care if it's a month, 6 months, a year, all of a sudden it hits, and you're like, woo! Right? That's God. That's God rewarding. Amen? Oh, and then above that is when we get to heaven. Amen? When we get to heaven. That'll be another reward day. Amen? I'm not trying to get to heaven. Me being in heaven's good. Every once in a while, just like, amen. Under your breath, be all right. God, getting into heaven's good. You know? I'm going to be all right, you know? But we are going to have reward there. Lay up treasures in heaven where neither moth or rust does corrupt. Amen? All right, so we're gonna have some reward there. Praise God. That's where I want my major reward. Is there. And I want it to be given by God. Okay? And not by man. Because man can only give you a temporary reward and you only get what you get. Right? Verse 2. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee as the hypocrites in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. My goodness. Don't let everybody know what you're doing for God. Because literally he's saying you're not doing it for God. You're doing it for yourself. You're doing it for your own glory. What he does, he said, don't sound the trumpet and don't stand out in the middle of the street and say, oh man, look here, I'm helping you out, buddy. Or look what we're doing. What you want to do is say, God, help me. Let's look at verse 3. Watch this. But when thou doest thine alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. Golly, he said, do it in such a way that maybe half of your being don't know what's going on off the other side. God, be a sneaky giver. Be a sneaky doer. Amen? Apparently God likes that. Be sneaky about it. Be covert. Make it a mission. All right, God, we're going in, we're going to help these people, and there ain't no way I'm going to try to get any glory. I'm going to do it in such a way that this hand don't know what this hand's doing. You know? That's sneaky. That's the only time in church you can be sneaky and good. All right? I know when you say, oh, I don't think we're supposed to be sneaky. Then this, God says, be sneaky. Don't even let, this hand shouldn't know what this hand's doing. You got two sides of your brain. So one side of your brain, that's probably the reasoning side. Hallelujah. It's probably the reasoning side. It says, shut that guy down. Get on that side, that emotional side, amen? Get on that side, that caring side, that human side, right? Where you don't rationalize what you're doing. Well, I know they're going to waste it. They're going to do something messed up with it. I might as well get a little publicity about what we're doing, right? God says, don't let your right hand know what your left hand's doing, right? Don't do it in a way where you get any credit. And God say, and when I read, I don't like teaching this stuff. I don't. Because it's, and I'm sitting there thinking, God, why? You don't have to put that in there. Well, there must be a reason. Because he knows us, don't he? He knows us. He knows what our nature's like. Our nature likes to be like, look what I do. Our nature should be, look what he done. Amen? Amen? Look what he done. Verse 4. That thine alms may be in secret, and thy father... Look, verse 4. Y'all want to write this, maybe underline it stuff? That thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. How's he going to reward you? If you do it secretly. Man, this should be a goal of ours. I'm going to be so secretive. But then when God's blessing me so big, I'll glorify Him for blessing me so big. And somebody said, why is He blessing you so big? Oh, I don't know. He's just a good father. He's just a good dad. Amen? But you'll know in your heart, because guess what? I'm doing what He said to do. I'm secretly trying to bless people with my time, with my money, with my effort, with my compassion, with my love. And I'm doing it in such a way that nobody would even think it was me. Wouldn't that be good? Wouldn't that be good? But there's a promise in verse 4. Get that. Some of y'all need to write that down, highlight it, put a star beside it. It's this. God promised you He would reward you openly. Man, God can't lie. I kind of think about it this way. Put some blessings in your account. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not talking about money, so if you're thinking that way, I'm talking about put some blessings in your account. Do something that builds up at a credit. Hey, God, when you at least expect it, or when you most need it. People say, well, I don't know why she's going, because guess what? God rewards those openly. And it's good. God's faithful in doing that too. I want to go a little bit further with this. If God is as good as we say He is, and He's omnipresent, omniscient. He knows everything. Does that mean He knows everything? Is that right? He knows everything? So if He knows, God help me, if He knows everything, that means He knows when to reward. You know what I mean? In this point in life, you might be doing really well, and you might need that reward when you're going through the valley or when you're really low. That reward might come in then, because God would say, they really need this now. That's how good God is. That's how we do as parents. We're not as good as God is. But that's what we try to do, right? I hope. Verse 5. Okay, so when you do your stuff, now watch this right here. It switches gears. And when thou prayest, oh man. So God's going to get on us how we deal with others, how we give, how we do alms, how we do good things. And He also wants to deal with us how we pray. So you mean in our flesh we would have a tendency when we pray to kind of get some glory for ourselves even in our prayers? Yeah, we can. So God rewards. He gets into it right here with us. He shows us in verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and in the corner of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto thee, they have their rewards. Man. Now listen, some of y'all are going to sit right there and go, oh man, I guess don't call on me to preach or pray no more, brother. I'm not praying in the temple. I'm not praying in the church. Because God said, no, what it is you need to get as low as possible. What He's talking about here is most of your prayers should be in a place where it's you talking to God and God talking to you. Amen? Most of your prayers should be between you and God, and they're not for public consumption. They're for a direct line into heaven. Because let me be honest with you. If we really prayed the way we should pray, we really wouldn't want most people to hear our prayers. I'm serious. Because all of a sudden you would go from, if you really pray and instead of, well, thank God for we're here and thank God for this, and God, if we really press through and let God, the Holy Spirit, into our prayers, all of a sudden we'd start worshiping Him. We would start telling Him how great He is. The next thing you know, we would start confessing sin. Not somebody else's, ours. And then we'd start forgiving people. And then all of a sudden we'd start, maybe somewhere at the end of that, if we could quit crying long enough and get up off the carpet, we might say, oh yeah, Lord, my friend, my brother, my sister, some people. But me, mostly, God. Me. I stand in need of anything. I need You. Amen? Prayers. See, giving's for God. Talking to God. Prayer is between you and God. It's a connection. It's a line. It's a way for us to talk to Him. I think prayer is probably the most underutilized tool a Christian has. It is. Because I know it's the most effective tool a Christian has. Ain't that amazing? It's the most underutilized, most effective. Have you ever noticed, have you ever made an appointment to pray? Or have you ever been challenged to pray more? I have. You know, like, okay, I'm going to pray more. And I'll set aside, I'm going to set up 30 minutes. I'm going to set a time. I'm going to do this. I'm gonna, man, in that 30 minutes, the world will fall apart. I'm serious. Telephone calls, text messages, wife, husband, kids, the world will fall apart. Knocking on, what are you doing? And you're like, all right, Lord, I'll talk to you later. You know why that is? Because the devil knows. The devil knows. If you start talking to God, you'll start getting answers from God. If you start getting answers from God, you won't be running around like a chicken with your head cut off in this life. You won't be panicking. You won't be stressed. You won't be, your heart won't be so heavy. You'll trust in the outcome. Amen? Have you ever been worried about your children, how they're going to turn out? Anybody ever worried about that? I do it all the time. I do it. I'm like, oh gosh, Lord, I'm not a very good Christian parent. I'm not doing everything I need to be doing. I don't do this and I don't do that and I don't do this right. I don't do that right. And I probably don't pray enough and I don't tell them enough and I don't encourage them enough and I'm not spiritual enough. Is anybody in here do that? You know what God reminds me of? It was that song you were singing. God reminds me all this time. Kevin, where did I find you? Where did I find you? I hate to tell you guys, some of you don't know, I wasn't raised in a Christian home. I didn't have people sowing into my life. My dad didn't get saved till he was 36, and I hated him for about 15 years after that. Yeah, I said that correctly and out loud. Because I thought my dad would be cool. My dad wasn't cool, he got saved. So it condemned my sinful life. So I ran from that. I mean, ran hard. But God wasn't like, oh gosh, I'll never find Kevin. God's like, dude, you can't get away from me if you wanted to. Some of y'all need to serve God with your whole heart, mind, and soul and let God get your kids when He wants to and where He wants to and how He wants to. One thing you need to do is take your hands off sometimes and say, God, get them. Just get them. I don't care how you get them, just get them. And he will. Y'all don't owe me nothing for that part of that preaching. It's free. But verse 6, listen how we should pray. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into the closet. And when thou hast shut the door, what? Pray to the Father that is in secret. And the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee how? Again. Are y'all seeing a pattern here? Everything we do for God shouldn't be on a stage as much as it is in a personal relationship in private. We do it quite opposite. We want to do everything up on a stage. We want to do every platform. We want to do it on a certain day. God says it should be between you and me most of the time. It should be in such a way that me and you are operating, and most people don't even know me and you are operating. Golly, are we just plowing in? Is it good? Is it getting there? Because you give secretly, He rewards you openly. You pray secretly, and He answers openly. Man, and you wouldn't even be telling anybody. You know what? If we prayed in such a way, if we closed the door and prayed for our enemies the way we should, the people we wouldn't forgive the way we should, I mean, pray for our kids the way we should, and shut the door, guess what? All of a sudden, God starts answering those questions, answering those prayers. I mean, answering those prayers and answering those prayers. And you're sitting over on the sideline going, oh my God, I prayed for that. And you ain't even got to tell nobody because you don't want God to get, you want Him to get all glory. When somebody says, hey, your kids are coming, they're getting saved. Hey, guess what? Everything's coming into order. You're getting that peace, getting that joy. Hey, these things that you were stressed about 6 months ago, and you start praying about them, they're just disappearing. How are they disappearing? I don't know. I don't know how they disappear. You do know. Because guess what you did? You like that prayer. We watched that movie War Room here. Remember that? What that woman did, she cleaned out her closet, found a place to hide and pray. We watch stuff like that. We see stuff like that. And all of a sudden, we had about 6 months. Ah, that was good. That was great, man. That's great for her. It's great for everybody. I'll make a list. Pray over it. You know, I'm sitting here preaching this tonight, and God's just bringing back to my remembrance. It was one New Year's. I come up with this awesome idea that we're going to pray through the night. I've probably told you about it. I know. But I want to tell you this throughout the night. You know what I prayed over? I had a list. Golly, he's got me. I had a list of things. And every time I got on that altar throughout the night, I was going to pray over. And you know what the number one thing on that list was? For my mom to get saved. That was it. I mean, she was in the worst shape of her whole life. And every time I can remember, I was 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning. We had like, you know, it was, but we were young and wild and didn't care, you know. But every time I get on my face, you know what? I remember my mom standing in her front yard years later going, I don't know, Kevin. But I went to the front of the church. God just changed me. And she kept pointing at her heart. And I said, Mom, did you know why you're telling me that whole story? You're sitting there pointing at your heart. She goes, no, I didn't realize that. I said, because he's there. She said, he's on the inside of me. You know? But you know what? I rarely do that. You know, and it works. It worked. So what do? We don't, it worked that time. We could do that. Get a list. Write it down. Pray over it repetitively. Not repetitive like, God, do that again. Get over it and say, Lord, I'm serious about this. I don't care if it's 1 or 20 or 100. But hey, God, look, I'm serious. Not for anybody else to know you're praying for it. What do? You shut the door. You go in the closet. You're saying, hey, God, this is important to me. And it's important to you. Will you answer? And when he does, you just take your hand up and say, praise God. Amen? This is the kind of stuff God knew who we were. He knew we would try to be like, look at me, look how much I pray. Look how loud I pray. And look where I stand and say eloquent words. He said, don't do that. If you can help it, don't do that. Get in the secret places. Verse 7. But when you pray, use not vain repetition. I covered that kind of. As the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. What that means is, don't just say a word and a word and a word and a word. And sometimes we think if we talk to God a lot, then he hears a whole lot. I think sometimes God is saying, we should be quiet. I got it. Let's go a little bit further right here. I want to show you why. Verse 8, I knew it was there. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for ye, your Father, knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. You understand? You get it now? That's when you go in there and you resign to the Holy Spirit and you start praying and talking to God and worshiping God. And next thing you know, God's answering that and he's bringing it to the forefront of your mind and your heart. Because guess what? He's God. He knew before you even walked in there what was on your mind and heart. What you're serious about. And he'll pull that out. He knows already. God, I'm going to say this over and over and over. Now, if I chant it, that's what it's talking about. If I chant it, God ain't a chant God. Matter of fact, you take a note, mental note, physical note. Every time God done something miraculous, you know what? He did it different the next time. Why? Where you won't fall in love with the way he did it. I don't mind you taking something from the scriptures and doing it. But praise God, don't fall in love with the method over the one who made the method. Amen? Sometimes we fall in love with the method. Well, that's how we've always done. Well, praise God. God changed every time he healed somebody who was blind. Did it different. Every time somebody was deaf, different. Every time lame, different. He works differently. Oh, gosh, I might as well quit. Did I ruin the message right there? It's talking about different on Wednesday night. Praise God. Sometimes God just does different stuff. Same gospel. Same message, different vehicle. Amen, preacher, that's good preaching. Go study 9 through 14, will you? that's 9 through 14 he gives an example prayer. I'm not going to cover that, because if I get into that, I'll preach all night. And I know some of you are like, okay, good, skip it. Verse 15. But let's go down to verse 14, and we'll do 15, and we'll move on to the next thing. For if you give men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I'm covering this in prayer is for one reason. We think God forgets who we are when we're praying. You understand? And I'm saying it this way, when it comes to forgiveness. Could you imagine going into somebody and asking them to do something for you, yet you hate somebody they know? I mean, you just hate, mad, frustrated, and want to do harm to them. But you go into that person, you say, oh God, will you bless me? Will you help me? God, will you fix this? Will you do that? God, I'm really stressed out about that. And all of a sudden there's this person right over here that you want to destroy because they did something that hurt you. God says you got to come into that same prayer with forgiveness for that person before you pray. Why? Because that forgiveness will activate not only your faith, but activates God. God says, okay, you can forgive them so I can hear your prayer. Oh, gosh, y'all are so spiritual. Me too. Have you ever went to pray about your spouse or going to pray when you're mad at your spouse? Oh, Lord, I love you, I praise you, you're awesome, God. Do this and do that. Mad as a hornet at the person that God's given you to be your life partner, right? To be the one that you're going through life with. Your husband or your wife you're going through. And all of a sudden you're mad as a hornet, but you're praying to God. God, I want you to do this, and God, I want you to do that. And he goes, well, I don't want you to get up and go in there and forgive your wife. I want you to get up there and go in there and forgive your husband. I want you to ask forgiveness for the 10,000 words you just said before you come in here. Amen? And I know it don't always take place that quickly. It's usually that week, that whole week, Monday through Friday. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Monday through Saturday. And then we come Sunday, right? It comes praying in the Sunday school, praying in the church, pray over our food at the diner. Still almost still tore up with somebody in our family. Ain't got no forgiveness. Where do you think those prayers went? Huh? Woo! Next Wednesday will be two people in here. We're going to forego the series next week. No, I'm just kidding. We're not. What I'm saying is go into your prayer life with forgiveness. Ask God to reveal any unforgiveness you have in your heart for anybody before you pray. God, reveal it. Show it to me. Because listen, God, that's a cancer to a Christian, is unforgiveness. It'll stop your whole walk with Christ. I want to move on, Betsy. I want to move on of this. But you know what happens? It's like a retreaded tire. It just keeps on going and going. Listen, you'll come back, all of a sudden you'll say, I'm over it, I've forgiven, I'm let it go. And then somebody will bring it up. And you'll run the whole story. Again, you didn't give. That means you didn't forgive. That means you just didn't talk about it for a while. Forgiveness is when it comes back and you feel that barb and that flesh comes back up, you say, I'm not talking about that because I'll let that go. God's going to handle that situation. I don't care if every fiber in your being, I don't care if your tongue's hitting the top of your mouth going, Sit! Tell them! Tell them how they hurt you! Tell them how they... No. I'm letting that go. That's a cancer to my bones. I'm gonna let that go. I'm gonna need God to hear my prayers. I'm gonna need to be connected with God. I can't be walking around with this on my with this unforgiveness. And let me say this, and I'm gonna move on. I probably spent too long on that, but I want to get you this. Forgiveness will be the key to your own prison in your mind. Because most of the time, when we don't forgive, that other person can be dead. Not caring or have moved on and don't even know you're hurting and you're still in that prison. Amen? And if somebody asked them, they'd say, I don't even know what you're talking about. And here you are, spent the last 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, 12 years racking your brain about what was said, what was done, da 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 da. You got me? So the best thing to do is forgive them. And you let yourself free. Right? And the next time you see them, they might come up to you and say, man, I'm so sorry for the way I forgot about it. All right, y'all good? Y'all, let's get one more. We'll go real fast. I promise. Real fast. Preachers lie when they say they're going to go fast. Moreover, when you fast, see, that's the fast part of this message. So, y'all get it when you get home. Be not as the hypocrites of sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fast, anoint thine head, wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto the Father which is in secret, and the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Did you see it again? It's kind of repetitive, ain't it? Wait a minute, we don't have to fast, do we? The Bible says when you fast. Amen? When you fast. And I know you say, well, you're a radical Christian. You don't tell me about this fasting. Listen, I don't care if you fast one meal. I don't care if you fast one day. I don't care if you fast a breakfast. What you need to do, what you do when you're fasting, it's between you and God. Amen? I'm going to tell you this, why fasting is important. God knows how much we like to eat. God knows how important it is for us to eat. Amen? It is. It's important. You'll die if you don't eat, right? So your whole life has consisted of when I'm going to eat, how I'm going to eat, when I'm going to get food, right? Okay, so that's your natural body. You got to feed it. You got to drink water. You got to feed it, right? Okay, so when you say to God, God, I'm not eating breakfast today. Or let's say, I'm not going to eat breakfast, lunch, or dinner today. But every time it comes to mealtime, I'm going to seek you instead of my food. What you're saying, now listen to some of your words, God, is that a souped up prayer? No, what it tells God is, I'm so serious. I'm so serious about this that I would rather subject my flesh to pain and discomfort that you will hear my spirit man. That you'll know that my spirit, the spirit thing, is more important than this physical thing. Amen? Do you want to go a step further? You want to be something crazy cool? Try this. This will blow your mind. Now don't, once again, not letting your right hand know what your left hand is doing. When you come to that mealtime, feed somebody else and pray during that time. I know that's radical. That's radical. But what it's all three of these things, what they do is they activate God in your life. That by faith, you're not doing them because of this, you're doing them by faith. You're saying, God, I'm going to give because you give to me. I'm going to talk to you in such a way that I believe you're hearing me. And if I have the faith to pray it, I have the faith that you'll answer it. And there are some things that will not come out without fasting and prayer. If there is something stubborn in your life that won't come out, then you might have to say, God, I'm pushing away from the table and I'm going to be serious about that time between you and me. And what do you do during that time? You wash your face. You dress up nice. You do something active. And somebody say, and they would never go. But if you walk home, what's wrong? I haven't eaten. I'm seeking the Lord. Well, you're awesome. Amen. You're going to get your reward. People are going to say, man, you're a super saint. You're like, I know I am. Right? And that's it. There went your reward. But what is your reward from heaven? If you do it this way, if you clean it and nobody knows, you just say, I'm passing on that. I'm going to do it. I'm so busy. I got to run out here and I got to do this real quick. I'll be back in 30 minutes while y'all are eating. I'm going to do this and I'll be back, man. God, all right. See y'all. Y'all may get your lunch. I know some of y'all are like, no, don't do that. But while you're out here, next thing you know, what if that thing you've been, that cancer breaks or that sickness breaks or that heartache breaks or somebody comes to know Christ because you got serious? Huh? Would it be worth it? There you go. God put all these in here. He put all these in here because He knew that we would have a propensity. Oh, you want to use that word the whole time. We have a desire in our flesh to take God's glory sometimes. We would love for people to say, man, you're an awesome prayer warrior. You know who the most awesome prayer warriors are? Nope, you don't. No, you don't. You don't know who they are. You know why? Because they would never even say they pray that much. God, that hurt, man. That hurt, didn't it? So I can just feel that one hurting. Who are the best givers? Who are the ones that give? You don't even know them. Amen? Who are the people that really get connected with God? Who are those super soldiers that God has? The ones who have been a day or two without eating, and you wouldn't even know it. Amen.
You wouldn't even know it.
I remember my dad. Me and my dad moved my brother one time in Athens, and it was 1,000 degrees outside. And we were up and down, up and down. And my dad was sweating, and I'm sweating. I'm mad at my brother because he tore his Achilles tendon, and he moved to highest point in Athens, Tennessee. He's pointing. Yeah, it goes up there too. It goes up there too. And I was like, I'm about to throw you up there too. And I noticed my dad. I was like, do you want anything to eat? No. Yeah, we're going to get lunch. Do you want anything? No, I don't want to get. And I'm like, what's going on, Dad, you know? So then later on, Debbie comes by, and I said, hey, Dad's not eating. She said, no, he's been fasting for 4 days. He didn't tell me, she did. He's got some serious stuff going on in the prison and some things he wants to see change in the ministry. So he's been praying and fasting. He's out here. God, I want to hold him down and put a cheeseburger in his mouth because he was shaky. But do you understand what I'm saying? That kind of stuff right there, I would never guess. I just noticed he hadn't been eating. He was joking with us and having fun doing things. Guess what though? He said, you know what, I'm gonna sacrifice because I need these things to happen. Y'all understand? It's good stuff. Let's all stand. Listen, we're not doing an altar call tonight. I will be around.